This is Wisdom Booklet number 27. We are studying Matthew 5, 33 through 37. Let's pray and we'll begin this study. Father in heaven, we pray for your great blessing on us during these moments that we spend together. As we are being exposed to more of the Greek that we've already learned, and as we are learning new principles from your word, cause that this study would help these parents and students as we look at the rest of the wisdom booklet as well, that there would be an increased desire to master the material that is set before us, and that then we could have that additional joy of applying what we're learning in this text to the other passages of Scripture that are open before us. Bless, therefore, and guide me as I instruct us. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, we'll begin by pronouncing our verses, Matthew 5, starting at verse 33. A long passage, a full paragraph here. Pollen ekousata hati erethe tois archaios uk epiorkesis apodosis de to kurio tus horkus su ego de lego humen me amasai halos meti en to urano hati thranas estin tu theu meti en te ge hati hupo padian estin ton padon autu meti eis hirasalma hati palis estin to megalo basileos meti en te kephalesu amases hati u dunasai mian trika lucain e melainan poiesai esto de ha lagas humon nai nai u ta de perisan tuton ek tu porneru estin. Let's look in this passage now at the several transliterations or the stems from which English words are found, and I have highlighted a number in this passage. Follow along and see if it's helpful for you. Verse 33, the word ancients, archaios. I don't believe this is the first time the word is used in the passage. In fact, I can see two other places, verse 21 and 27, just immediately. But it's the first time I've drawn attention to it. It's not directly a transliteration, but you can see the word archaic in it, archaios, the word ancient. The word archaic comes from this. May help to memorize that. The next word is in verse 34. Midway through the verse, the word throne. In Greek, it's thranos. In English, it's throne. That's a transliteration. In verse 35, we have several. You have the word of his feet, padon. Of course, padon is where we get the root for this word podiatry, the study and care of feet, treatment of feet, and so on. That might help you to learn the word padas. And then continuing, the word Jerusalem, of course, is a transliteration. Hierasalama, the I being pronounced as a J sound in English. And then two words later, the word city, polis. I would think that you could recognize that. A metropolis is a metro city, a big city. So polis is the Greek word for city. Then in verse 36, we have the word for head, kephale. Looked in the dictionary because I had heard of this word before, and sure enough, cephalic, turning the K sound into a C in English. Cephalic is means relating to the head. And then, of course, it makes sense when you hear of someone who has encephalitis. That's an inflammation of the head, or specifically of the brain. So kephale, or kephale, as it's here in our text, is that Greek root for the word, English word, head. And then also in verse 36, we get to the word white. Later on, the next line, white, leukane, white, the root word there, leu, L-E-U, is the basis for our word in English. Could you think of it? Leukemia. Leukemia is a disease of the white blood cells. Well, let's see. Then one other that I had noted, and I missed it here, but back in verse 35, we have the word great, megalu, and those first four letters of that word, mega. Certainly you can recognize mega. It's that which is great or big. Some folks make mega bucks and words like that in our present casual vocabulary in English. So mega is the root word, Greek word there for great. Now also I want us to look on your own, or we can do it together here through these several verses, and locate the verbs. Some of these should be simple because you've located them several times before. The first verb in verse 33, ekousata, do you recognize that yet? We've seen that several times before. Ekousata, that exact form. That's an aorist, active, indicative. You heard at a point in time in the past that it was said. There's another verb that we've seen before. Aorist, passive, indicative. And work your way on through. There's an imperative here. There's a subjunctive in this passage. There's an infinitive here. Just work through and notice the various verb forms that you can in those verses. Now, by now, it might help you some if you are color coding, as I've suggested once or twice before. Here in the text that I'm looking at, I've underlined the future tense verbs. I've colored in red, or underlined in red, the imperative mood verb and others on the page that are imperatives. And in my particular text, I've also highlighted in yellow the transliterations, the first place that each transliteration has occurred in this chapter so far. And so my Bible, the Greek text here, has verse 33 through 37 pretty well marked up. It's really not a bad thing. I can observe certain lessons from the text just by looking at the color coding. And if it helps you, let me please encourage you to do it. One of the benefits of this color coding is that I can check myself on key vocabulary words, transliterations and the like, very easily. I can look back at any of the first 32 verses of chapter 5 in my own text here, and observe these highlighted words in yellow, and just looking at the yellow ones, I can test myself to see if I remember the vocabulary word based on that Greek. Let me test you. You're not looking at your text, but let me give you a little quickie quiz. Close your eyes. That way, for sure, you're not looking. And let's see if you know this particular Greek word. Pharisaion. Someone who is a pharisaion. Does that sound to you like Pharisee? And here's another one from earlier in chapter 5. Sunedrio. He'll be liable to the Sunedrio. Sanhedrin. And moray. Don't call somebody a moray. The word moron, a fool. And so on through the text. See if learning these transliterations makes memorization of the vocabulary easier. In your case, it does. In mine, certainly. Well, that's verbs. Now let's go to the study of nouns, where we've been for these last several tape segments. For this study, you need to have that wisdom booklet number 1 handy. Have it open to page 14. And let's just review in the booklet number 1, the chart that we have so far. I've asked that you cross off the heading, what are the 8 masculine endings which are added to the noun stem. And I've asked that you replace that with the heading, what is the article. And we noted that the singular endings, right above that word singular endings, you wrote number two in an ND, second, above those second declension, or the masculine endings. And you wrote a second, a two ND, above the plural endings. So we know that this is the second declension. That's the same thing as saying that's the masculine gender. Second declension, and these are the articles. Now you remember, the article matches the noun. It doesn't always look exactly the same, but it does always match it. The masculine singular nominative article always goes with the masculine singular nominative ending on the noun. Of course, the article is ha, and the ending is the os. But the two always go together. So we're going to memorize, or at least get better acquainted with, the article, realizing that it will always identify the gender, number, and case of the noun. So you've written that so far. And let's start in verse 33, Matthew 5, and just see what particular truths we can learn as we're working through these nouns. Again, ye have heard that it was said to the ancients. Tois is an article. Archaios is the noun. Now look in your list there on the chart and see if you can identify tois. What is the gender, number, and case of tois? You see it in the plural endings? Go down to the third entry. It's a dative plural. So it's a masculine dative plural. Tois. And I've suggested that the dative is usually translated to or for, and here in our text it's translated to the. Archaios is a word that means ancients, and the O-I-S ending indicates several things. It indicates that it's a masculine gender. It indicates that it's a plural number, and it indicates that it's the dative case. Masculine, plural, dative. Simply because of the ending, and you'll observe that the OIS of the article and the OIS of the noun are the same. You've heard that it was said to the ancients, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt render to kurio. To is an article. Let's look back there in the chart. Can you identify it? It's a masculine, that's because it's a second declension. It's a masculine, and it's singular, and it's also a dative. And that's why in our text it's translated to the kurio. I hope this is pretty easy for you. Kurio, because of that ending, of course the article and the noun look the same, so kurio there has that same ending. It's a masculine, singular, dative. And is translated to the Lord. All right? Thou shalt render to the Lord. Its function is to have an indirect object. Thou shalt render to the Lord tus horcus su. Three words there have the same ending. Thine oaths. Us horcus. All right, tus. Let's locate the article. Tus is a masculine plural accusative. Do you see that? Tus, it's a masculine plural accusative. That means it's used as the direct object. You'll render to the Lord oaths. Tus orcus, horcus. And then the su, S-O-U there, the last word of verse 33, is a pronoun. Now look at the O-U ending and look back at the article endings. The masculine singular genitive article is the word to. But if you didn't have the T there, it would be the OU ending. Su, then, is a masculine singular genitive, happens to be a pronoun, and it is translated of. So thou shalt render to the Lord the oaths of thee. And of course, the of thee is better translated in English, thy oaths. So there's those three words, tus, horcus, su. Verse 34, I am saying, present active indicative, to you, not to swear at all. That's that may, that's that subjunctive. We've seen u, which is the indicative, and may, which is the subjunctive, that you may not swear at all, halas, holy, at all. All right, so we have a may, and then it's tied with four more words, mete, neither, and then in verse 35, mete, nor, and also in verse 35, mete, and then verse 36, mete. So you have a string here, not at all, neither by heaven, nor by earth, nor by Jerusalem, neither by the head. And in Greek, that's a very clear parallelism. Do not swear at all, neither en to urano. The to urano, that omega with the oda ending, the subscript there, that should begin to ring bells. You may not have memorized the form yet, but you should say, oh yes, that's an ending. The to is an article there. That's a second declension or a masculine. It's a singular. It's a dative. And it's translated the heavens, the heaven. You say, why isn't it to the heavens? That's a fair question. We'll come back to that probably in the next tape or the next tape segment. Neither by the heavens, hati, because the thranos. Okay, now look at thranos. In your English translation there, the word the is in brackets. You know why it's in brackets? Because there's no article in the Greek text. Because throne it is of God. Now I'm going to study with us, or we're going to study together, this article in tape segments to come, but for right now just observe that not always is the article placed in Greek when it is needed in English. So thranos, without an article, the OS ending, do you know what part of speech thranos is? The OS ending should give it away. Look on the chart. It's the masculine, singular, nominative ending, the OS ending, thranos. That means this is the subject. It is the throne of God. Now here's another perplexity. The last two words of verse 34, to theou. Here you have the article to, but you don't have the word the in English. It's not the throne of the God. It's the throne of God. How come? We'll come back to this example. For now, simply note that to is the article. It goes with theou. They both have the same ending. And the OU ending on our chart indicates that it's a masculine or a second declension, masculine, that it's a singular, that it's a genitive, article and noun, and so on. Now, enough of that. I want to add something to our chart now. This is the grammar section. Let's continue. With this chart, you have the second declension, singular, and second declension, plural, articles. Just to the left of these second declension articles, I want you to write the column of first declension, singular, and first declension, plural, articles. The first, you remember, is feminine. The second is masculine. The third is neuter. And you've already written the to and de, the second above ha, to, to, tan. So to the left of that, right underneath the word singular, directly underneath that word singular, write these entries. The nominative is the letter eta. With a rough breather, it's he. And eta, with a rough breather, is the feminine, or the first declension, singular nominative article. Hey, just write that letter eta with the rough breather. The genitive first declension is the word tes, a t, and the eta, and the s. It doesn't look like tu, which is the second declension genitive. The word is tes, t, or tau, eta, s, or sigma. First declension dative entry is te. That's a tau and an eta with the little iota subscript under the eta. Just as you have the iota subscript under the tau for that second declension, dative singular. Do you see the iota there? So you put that same little subscript under the eta. A tau, eta, with the subscript. It's not pronounced, but it is written. And then the first declension, singular, accusative, is tain. Tau, eta, nu. That last letter, nu, is matches the last letter, nu, in the second declension, accusative, tan. So the first declension and articles are he, tais, te, tain. Let's do the plural first declension. Underneath the word plural, for the nominative, have the two letters a, I. The plural nominative, the second plural nominative is oi. The first plural nominative is I, A-I. And then the plural genitive for first declension is tone, tau, omega, the thing that looks like a W in English, tau, omega, nu. Just exactly like the second declension plural genitive, tone, tone. The next entry, the dative, is tais, T-A-I-S. Where the second declension has tois with the letter O, the first declension plays on that A, tais, T-A-I-S. And then the accusative is tas, T-A-S. So the first declension plural article, first declension, that's feminine, ladies first. The first declension is I, tone, tais, tas. Now let's continue in verse 35 and see if we can find several of these. Verse 35, nor by the earth, te ge. That word te is an article. And you can see now on your list, on your chart there in the wisdom booklet open before you, that that is a feminine article. It's a feminine, singular, dative article, and so with the noun, it's a feminine singular dative noun, the earth, because the footstool it is of his feet, of ton padon, you can figure that out now, and autu, you can figure that out, nor by Jerusalem, because the city it is of, here we go, the great, tu megalu, basileos. We haven't learned the forms for basileos yet, happens to be a masculine, but you don't recognize it for reasons we'll come to later. But you do recognize tu megalu. Keep reading, verse 36, neither by thy head, te kephale. The head, head is a feminine noun, so te has to be a feminine article, te kephale. Su, the pronoun there, the head of thee, shalt thou swear, because thou art not able, one hair white. You see the ending on the word leucain. Or melion, melion, black. There's the ending, to make. And so on. I'm hoping now that as you look through the text, you can begin to recognize more and more of these words simply because of the endings or the forms. That's our purpose thus far. Now, to our present wisdom booklet, number 27, let's turn to the Insight Through Investigation study, and I would like to lead us through several points. The lead question, how does the Greek word for evil reveal the true nature of swearing? The interlinear text, the key word in that is that word evil, poneiru. And we understand in the paragraph at the bottom of that column, the Greek word, poneiros, is but one of several words translated evil in the New Testament. There are several words. Each word has a distinct shade of meaning which sheds important light on the nature of the evil being described. So in this resource, we will be looking at three words, synonyms, all translated in English by the one word evil. The three words are kakas, phallos, poneiros. Here's what I would like you to do. Maybe write this alongside the word kakas. In your Englishman's concordance, list five examples of where the word is used. List five examples out of the many that are there in the Englishman. Find the five best examples to you. There is no right or wrong choice here. Simply work through those and observe which most accurately conveys the thought behind this word evil. In my case, one that I chose was Romans 12:21, overcome evil with good. Kakas represents whatever is evil in its basic character. It's the opposite of two other Greek words. And I'd like you, just as an exercise, to list five places where this word kakas is used, where it truly conveys the nature of the word evil. The second Greek word here, phallos, is only used four times in the New Testament. Look at those four, maybe look them up in the English text and read the context. And I would urge you to list the one best example of the word phallos. And then for poneiros, which is our word here in the text, I think it'd be a reasonable study venture for you and then for the students there in your home to list seven ways that this word poneiros is translated in our English text. Seven different ways it is translated. Usually evil, but there are six other ways that same word poneiros is translated. Note those and note the context. I think that'll be a good study and it'll prepare you to appreciate this particular resource of how does the Greek word for evil reveal the true nature of swearing.